You're listening to the Tech Talks podcast, a podcast by the Technology Education Collaborative. Tech is an Arizona nonprofit that empowers everyday people with useful information about today's extraordinary technology. Today, we're sitting down with Ryan Murray. He is the state CISO. Thank you, Ryan, for being here. And he is joining us for our What Does a Technologist Do segment.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so the way this works is everybody gets the same five questions. The questions stay the same. The answers are always surprising. So just to jump in here, so we kind of already covered it, but tell us what your actual formal title and position is.
Yeah, for sure. It's a bit of a mouthful, and I'll just run into it. So I'm Ryan Murray. I am both the Deputy Director for the Arizona Department of Homeland Security's Statewide Information Security and Privacy Office, and I also currently serve as the Chief Information Security Officer for the state.
The first title's cooler.
I know, right? Doesn't it sound cool? Like to lean into that one for sure.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. All right. So the second question is, so what does that mean? What do you actually do on a daily basis? Like, what do you do?
Yeah. So I'll give you the government answer first,
sure.
Sort of focused on what my strategic plan says and what my statutory authority says. We do everything cybersecurity, focusing on building the strategy, building the operations of how to protect our state, our local governments, all of our government functions from cyber attacks. What that actively looks like, it's not nearly as cool as it sounds, especially at my level, right? Like, I've got a lot of really cool things happening that my team is doing. I do a lot of meetings. So functionally, lots of emails, lots of meetings, talking to people, really trying to go out there and sell what a cybersecurity program looks like, because unfortunately, not everyone understands what cybersecurity is or how technology functions. And frankly speaking, they're not supposed to, right? All of our stuff
Sure.
sort of happens in the background. We want to make sure that our government services continue to function without interruption. We want to make sure that we are protecting the private and sensitive information of our citizens. So being able to do all that stuff on a day-to-day basis, we have a lot of very smart technical people and non-technical people that are helping to make that go. And I get the distinct honor of helping to sell what they're doing to people that don't really understand this stuff.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what is your favorite thing about your job?
I'll just say all of the things that I just talked about, right? Like going out there and talking to members of the community, of meeting with our cities and counties and our towns and our school districts and our state agencies, and just really getting to know what their challenges are, understanding on a day-to-day basis, what are the cyber attacks that they're facing? What are some of the vulnerabilities that they're struggling to address and fix within their environments? And how do we better engage with them to help them support that effort? Because frankly speaking, this is something that we can't do alone, right? I can't do alone at the state level. Our local government certainly can't do it alone, especially as we start talking more and more to the rural parts of Arizona. They just don't have the funding and resources to be able to handle this. So I would say that's probably the most exciting part about what I get to do is going out there and helping to solve these problems. Because I am a technologist at heart. I'm a longtime geek. I've been doing this stuff for a really long time. And a big part of that ethos is finding problems and solving challenges, right? Solving puzzles. And I think that still transitions or translates into a lot of the work I'm doing now, even though the day-to-day work is not technical in nature. That makes sense.
Is there any one specific threat or issue that you can think of that's particular to the state of Arizona? Because I know when most people hear cybersecurity, they're immediately going to go to state threat actors, right? They're going to immediately go to nation states, like China's trying to hack us. But what does that look like on a state level?
Yeah, so we're facing all the same things that people are terrified about that you're seeing in the news, right? We're worried about nation state threat actors coming after our critical infrastructure because we're running water and wastewater systems in our cities. We're supporting energy generation and transmission. We're supporting public safety, right? 911 and police and fire and all the things that you as an Arizona citizen rely on, whether that's at the city, the county, or the state level. And we're in sort of a unique perspective in that we get to see all of those things. If you're in the private sector, you have sort of a very specific niche, right? The market that you're supporting, the product that you're supporting. In government, specifically at the state level, we see all of it, right? So we get to touch healthcare information in the healthcare sector. We get to work with criminal history information in our public safety organizations. We get to talk to, the EPA and our Department of Environmental Quality on protecting water and wastewater systems and making sure that drinking water is protected and safe. We get to work with, you know, our Department of Revenue and our taxation organizations on protecting all the tax revenues, which is timely. Don't forget to go file your taxes before before tax day, right? So all that stuff, and that's really unique sitting at sort of the state level, seeing all of those things, where you might get little bits and pieces of that if you're in an organization in the private sector.
Okay. So our next question is, what's your least favorite thing about your job? Because no matter how much you love your job, everyone's got a part of it that doesn't make them sing.
Yeah. Well, I'll say the biggest challenge that I have is continuing friction with our IT friends, right? I'm a big proponent, and as mentioned in my title, I don't report to an IT organization, right? I'm underneath the auspices of the Department of Homeland Security at the state level. And this was a very purposeful decision at the state several years ago to say, cybersecurity is a national security problem. It's a homeland security problem. This is not just a technology issue anymore. We're facing nation state threat actors. We're partnering with public safety and law enforcement. We're talking to our military. We're sharing intelligence. We're partnering with these organizations that typically don't exist within sort of the structure of IT. And frankly speaking, historically, cybersecurity has been seen as sort of those, either the Department of No that tells you you can't do these things,
for sure.
Or they're seen as you're pointing out the laundry list of all of my failures as a technologist, right? And having that combative relationship between either the CIO or the IT director and your CISO or your cybersecurity professional, I would say that's the most challenging thing that I've had to address in my career in various positions. Not so much in this position now, because I have a fantastic working relationship with our state CIO and his IT department, but still working with sort of those traditional IT organizations and some of the other state agencies, that friction still exists. And trying to empower agency security officers and security professionals that maybe still report to sort of a legacy CIO or IT director, and helping them to understand and see the light that cybersecurity is here to enable technology to do better, to enable the business to manage risk better, versus we're just going to point out all your failures. It's one of the harder parts of the job, for sure.
So something that continually comes up with almost every guest we've had is the importance of kind of the soft skills, the people skills.
Yeah.
So given what you've just said, would you say that that is a people skills problem or a technical problem or some melding of both?
So it's a bit of both, right? Because it's hard to explain to a non-technical person what the risks are that they're facing. And frankly speaking, cybersecurity is... it's less about technical things, though it does involve technology. And this ties back to sort of this IT idea that cybersecurity is not just a technology challenge or an IT challenge anymore. But really focusing on cybersecurity as managing business risk, right? Focusing on how do we communicate this to business leadership, not just IT directors and CIOs of, well, you've got this vulnerability, you need to go patch it. How does that translate into, if this vulnerability is realized by an exploit or a threat actor taking advantage of it, what is that actual real-world impact to my business? If we're leaking sensitive tax information, what does that mean for our citizens? If one of our cities gets taken offline with ransomware, what does that actually impact for city services? That's not an IT problem, right? That's
sure.
A business risk determination. Just as legal risk is, just as financial risk is, it's another seat at the table where we as cybersecurity professionals have to be able to communicate that in the language of business risk versus technology.
And that really is every CISO. I mean, even at the private sector, right? Like that's
100%.
Always, that's kind of the job, is to bridge the gap there.
That's exactly it. And this is, again, sort of dragging my soapbox around, right? Like the CISO needs a seat at the table. It should not be subordinate to an IT director,
right,
or a CIO. They should be sitting there at the same table talking to the CEO or to the board of directors to explain, just as your CFO would be talking about financial risk, just as your IT director or CIO would be talking about sort of innovative technologies and how we're going to drive the business forward through digital services and UI UX development and all the other fun stuff that CIOs get to do. the CISO needs to be at that table as well, talking about these are the cybersecurity threats and vulnerabilities that we're facing, and here's the controls that we're going to be putting in place to mitigate those.
Or having HR people in the room so they can talk about, like, you know, least amount of data, you know, things like that.
Yep, exactly.
For sure. Okay, so what is the one practical thing you would want someone who says, I want to be the state CISO when I grow up? What is something practical that they can do to kind of help achieve that goal?
Oh, geez. And I love that this is an audio-only podcast. You didn't get to see my grimace when you asked the question.
Your smile of enthusiasm, you mean?
That's right, yes. My toothy grin of enthusiasm. So I'll say one. Be aware of what it means to be the go-to person for a cybersecurity program, right? Like, understanding that you're not just going to be solving technical problems, you're going to be solving business problems and political problems, both big P politics and little P politics within, like, your business organization, personnel challenges, but also technical challenges, right? Because ultimately, a lot of the work that we're doing still has a technology component. So being able to speak that language to sort of the technical staff, but also to the political and business staff, understand how to bridge those two gaps. And I will say that my background specifically has helped to prepare me for this. I've mentioned a couple of times before, but my mother was an educator in public schools for you know, the majority of her career. I worked in K-12 school districts for about a decade before I moved to state and local government. And really being able to translate technical topics to non-technical people is a critical skill for someone in this role.
Okay. And then final question is, do you have any hobbies, passion projects, any organizations you're involved with that you want to give a shout out to? What do you do in your free time? Just tell us something about you.
Yeah, you also didn't get to see me roll my eyes when you said free time. My passion projects all sort of revolve around the work that we're doing. And
sure.
And I'll say the most important thing that I'm really excited about right now is focusing on helping to continue to build the community of cybersecurity professionals across the state of Arizona, not just within state government, but truly across the entire state, and building this holistic whole-of-state strategy on how do we protect each other. And looking with a specific focus on our more vulnerable populations that are under-resourced and underdeveloped and don't really have the capacity to defend themselves from well-funded, well-resourced For sure. nation-state threat actors. So we're looking at this from both a technical challenge standpoint, from how do we get the high-powered, high-paid cybersecurity defensive tools out into the hands of the defenders that need them at those rural communities, at those small to medium businesses, that wouldn't be able to fund them otherwise. So the state is running several programs where we're essentially providing those services for free to small local governments that couldn't otherwise buy this stuff themselves. On top of that, the second challenge that we've heard is, great, you want to give me free tools and free services, but I don't have staff to run this stuff anyway. So what am I going to do with this? Like, just deploying another antivirus solution configured the wrong way is going to make me less secure and not more secure, right? So how do we train the future of our workforce to be able to build up the capabilities, regardless of what size your organization is, to be able to protect and defend themselves? So we're working with community colleges, like, you know, where we're sitting today in Gateway Community College. We're working with various community colleges and higher education organizations across the state to try to figure out, how do we build that talent pipeline? How do we give students opportunities to get real-world hands-on experience while they're getting their academic degrees? Because frankly speaking, that's all any employer wants, right? The degree is great. The foundational knowledge that comes with it is fantastic. But when it comes to technology and cyber degrees, people want hands-on experience to give you a job. So how do we give them those opportunities? Well, we're trying to solve multiple challenges at the same time, because frankly speaking, I don't have enough time and money to be able to solve one challenge at a time. So we're trying to kill multiple birds with one stone by putting these students directly to work in protecting and defending their own communities. So we're giving them that hands-on experiential opportunity. We're helping the communities that don't have the staff or capability to defend themselves currently by teaching and training those students directly in those real-world environments. And then we're taking this sort of methodology of building this workforce pipeline and building the demand side and stamping that out across the state, both in government and private sector, and really building this collective defense network of true cyber defenders essentially everywhere.
Very cool. And that's what you do for fun, huh?
Yeah, that's what I do for fun. Yeah, that's right.
No, but you make such a good point. I mean, people really don't think about the fact that, like, some of our power grid is rural co-ops, right? And it really is five people, you know, handling the power for farms, for a lot of infrastructure that's critical, water treatment plants, things like that.
Yeah, irrigation. And there's so much of that across the state, right? Especially as rural as most of Arizona is, right? You've got the energy co-ops that are supporting energy for small communities. Yep. You've got the water and wastewater systems that maybe there's one well within 300 miles of a community, and if that well goes offline, that entire community is no longer able to get water.
Yep.
All of these very critical services that have multiple vulnerabilities and flaws, and we need to do better collectively about making sure that we're protecting and defending those that don't otherwise have the capability and capacity to do it themselves.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Christine. I appreciate you having me on the show.
All right. This podcast was recorded at the Advanced Cyber Systems Lab at Gateway Community College. If you are interested in having a podcast, you are welcome to come in and use the studio free of charge. You can also come in and 3D print, take apart a server, play with AI, and pretty much do all sorts of fun, cool, techie stuff. Even if you don't know how, come on in. Someone here does, and they'll be happy to show you.